Hi, and welcome to the first of many how-to videos for Windows Azure SQL Database. This video series will discuss introductory to advanced level Windows Azure SQL Database topics, including SQL Data Sync, database scalability with SQL Federation, SQL reporting, and much more. Now, this video series is less about PowerPoint and more about how-to, so we'll try to keep PowerPoint to a minimum. Now, before we get started, let me introduce myself. My name is Scott Klein. I'm a Windows Azure Technical Evangelist for Microsoft, and I cover many of the Windows Azure SQL Database data services. So with that, let's get started. Now, Microsoft provides a continuous solution from private cloud to the public cloud, but today we're going to discuss Windows Azure SQL Database and our PaaS platform. Windows Azure SQL Database extends SQL Server capabilities to the cloud by offering SQL Server as a relational database service. And this is what we're going to talk about today. Now, our agenda for today is the following. We'll look at the architecture of Windows Azure SQL Database. We'll look at how to provision a Windows Azure SQL Database server and database. We'll look at some of the tooling technologies that you can use for working with Windows Azure SQL Database. And then from an all-important standpoint, we'll look at how to secure your database and how Windows Azure SQL Database makes your data secure. So let's begin by looking at the architecture of Windows Azure SQL Database. And what you'll find is that it really is no different or that much different from an on-premise SQL Server instance. Let's begin by looking at the client layer. You'll notice at the client layer that a lot of the technologies that you use today still work. So developers have spent many years working with their technology of choice, and Microsoft wanted to ensure that the technologies and tools that you use today developing with on-premise SQL Server still work when working with Windows Azure SQL Database. From there, we have the services layer, and this is where Windows Azure SQL Database differs just a bit. What the service layer provides is it functions as a gateway between the client layer and the platform layer where the data resides. This services layer provides three functions: provisioning, billing and metering, and the connection routing. So from a provisioning standpoint, when you create a new Windows Azure SQL Database, it looks at all the physical servers in the data warehouse and says, where's the least busy server to provision my database? From a billing and metering standpoint, it looks at all your databases, how long they've been up, how many do you have, how large are they, and things like that to bill you appropriately. Now, underneath that, let's talk about connection routing as well. From a connection routing standpoint, this services layer also routes your connections. So when you are connecting, whether it's through SQL Server Management Studio or through an application, your connection comes in, and this services layer routes your connection to their appropriate database. The platform layer, this is the physical servers and services that support the services layer. The platform layer consists of many instances of SQL Server, each which are managed by the SQL Database Fabric. So you've got the physical servers, the database fabric, and then you have management services. And these services really are on each physical SQL Server box. And what they do is they ensure that all the services are running appropriately, that all the resources are running fine. They monitor the health of the individual servers, and then they enable the automated installation of services upgrades and software patches and things like that. So while behind the scenes there are physical SQL Server boxes running, we're connecting through this services layer, so we can't get to the physical servers directly. And then underneath that, we have the infrastructure layer, and this represents the IT administration of the physical hardware and the operating systems that support the services layer. So if you look at this, this really doesn't differ that much from on-premise. We just have this additional services layer that handles our database provisioning, our billing and metering, our connection routing. Now, one of the important things that I want to point out from a provisioning standpoint is that when you create a Windows Azure SQL Database, not only do you get one database, but you get three databases. You get one primary and two replica databases, and these databases are always in sync. Your application is always talking to the primary database, but you have three databases, one primary and two replica, and they're always in sync. And this provides the high availability and disaster recovery that are one of the many benefits of Windows Azure platform. So if that primary ever goes down, for example, the Windows Azure Fabric will take that, or the SQL Database Fabric will take that primary offline, promote one of the secondaries to the primary, and then spin up another secondary and then sync that. So you always have three databases always in sync to give you that high availability and disaster recovery. Now let's look at how to provision your server really quick. We will spend a few minutes in PowerPoint here, but let's take a look at how to provision a server. So there's several ways you can provision a server, and today we're going to look at just do it through the management portal, but you can. There are several ways to provision your server and a database. You can do it through the Windows Azure Management Portal, and where it allows you to provision servers interactively. You can use the SQL Server Management Studio as well. You do have access to the master database, but these master databases that you have access to are read-only. When you connect and you create a server, you can't name them things like Batman or Superman or Ratbert or Dilbert and things like that. Your database names are generated for you, and they're really a fully qualified domain name, and we'll see an example of that when we provision our server. Now, when you log in, you can log into the Windows Azure Management Portal. You can create your database server and your database server and your database through there. You'll specify your login credentials, and then you add firewall rules, and we'll specify those. We'll talk about those here in a little bit as well. Now, if you like coding, there are several other ways to provision your database server and your database. You can use PowerShell or our SQL Database Management APIs. These are just REST calls, and so there's several ways to provision those. We won't look at those today. We'll look at those in an upcoming video. But know that there are several ways to provision your server, and today we'll look at provisioning our server through the management portal. Now, what I want to spend a few minutes on is once you have your database created, again, I want to highlight the fact that you are using familiar technologies. So it is SQL Server behind the scenes, so it does use Transact SQL. You are writing T-SQL statements when you're working with Windows Azure SQL Database. But a lot of the languages that you work with today, a lot of the frameworks and tools that you use today still work with Windows Azure SQL Database. ADO.NET, ODBC, C#, C++, Java, PHP, all these tools and languages still work. A lot of the frameworks such as OData, Identity Framework, WCF Data Services, and Hibernate, a lot of the frameworks that you use and ORM still work. From a tools perspective, SQL Server Management Studio, all your modelers still work. Again, I can't stress enough that a lot of the tools you use today still work, and most of the tools that you use today still work with Windows Azure SQL Database. Let's spend a few minutes and talk about some of the SQL Server to Windows Azure SQL Database comparisons and some of the features that are and are not supported in Windows Azure SQL Database. So Windows Azure SQL Database, this is a focuses on the logical administration rather than the physical administration. When you're working with the on-premise SQL Server, you have to do a lot of the physical maintenance, install SQL Server, licenses, upgrades, patches, maintenance, and things like that. With Windows Azure SQL Database, Microsoft handles that aspect for you. It handles the physical administration for you, and you just focus on the logical administration, such as creating users and logins and signing the rules and doing the things that you love to do, creating databases and objects and coding in SQL Server. This is what Windows Azure SQL Database allows you to do. Now, unlike on-premise, when you create a database, the log files in Windows Azure SQL Database are placed for you automatically. You cannot get to the log files. You cannot get to the data files. They're placed for you automatically. You cannot get to the physical files. Now, as we talked about, there are three high availability replicas maintained for every database, one primary and two secondary. Gives you the high availability needed in a database system. Now, every table in Windows Azure SQL Database does require a clustered index, and the reason for that is this is what the system uses to manage the data synchronization behind the scenes to keep those three databases in sync. Now, the maximum database size currently is 150 gigabytes. Don't panic. We will talk about that in future series about how to get around the 150 gigabyte limit using SQL federations and things like that, all about scalability and partitioning your data across multiple nodes. Let's spend a few minutes talking about SQL Server features. A lot of what we want to point out is that this is Windows Azure SQL Database, and there are some features that are not supported yet in Windows Azure SQL Database, such as distributed transactions, distributed views, service broker, full text search, the common language runtime. That's kind of a sort of supported because a lot of the data types in Windows Azure SQL Database, such as the XML data type and the spatial data types, those are CLR-based data types, and those are supported. What they mean here is the SQL CLR. That is not supported yet. The SQL agent, there is no SQL agent yet. Native encryption is not supported. A lot of these things we'll talk about when we get to the security pieces and future videos in this series. We'll talk about how you can use things like how you can get around native encryption or things that you can use in place of native encryption. Backup and restore, we'll talk about backup and restores in another video series as well. But a lot of these things, if you'll notice, it is SQL Server behind the scenes, so you get a lot of the functionality with Windows Azure SQL Database: tables, views, stored procedures, triggers, indexes, primary keys, foreign keys, cluster indexes, all that great functionality. Just a few things here that are not supported yet, features that they're working on. So with that, let's move on and talk about some of the tooling with Windows Azure SQL Database. Now we will, in today's video, we'll talk about the SQL Database Management Portal. A lot of times, many of us have wondered and wanted a web-based SQL Server Management Studio, and this is what the SQL Database Management Portal is. It's a scaled-down version. It allows us to do create objects like tables, store procedures, views. We can write queries. We can look at execution plans, things like that. But it does not allow us to do some of the security features like create users and create logins and things like that. So it's a web designer really for tables, views, and stored procedures. Allows us to write queries, look at data, edit data, look at execution plans, things like that. But it's not the full version of SQL Server Management Studio. In another video series, what we will talk about is SQL Server Data Tools when we talk about migration. SQL Server Data Tools comes free with Visual Studio 2012. It is an add-on to Visual Studio 2010, but allows us to develop and test in both connected and disconnected states. And it's really a modern designer that allows us to do declarative model-driven development. We'll do a whole video series, or a whole video on SQL Server Data Tools to give you an idea of how that works. Now, from a security perspective, Microsoft is very serious about securing your data, making sure that your data is secure within the walls of their data center. And as such, they have implemented what's called the SQL Database Firewalls. These are IP address-based access control to SQL Database, to your data. These are rules that are defined by IP address, and they define who has access to your data, both from the server level as well as the database level. These can be configured through the Windows Azure Management Portal. They can be configured at the database level through T-SQL. But by default, when you provision a Windows Azure SQL Database, nobody has access to this database or to your database or your server, including you. You'll need to go into the management portal and specify who has access, and that's as simple as defining a firewall rule. And we'll see that in as part of the demo. So with that, let's jump out and do some demos. What we're going to do is hop into the SQL Server or Windows Azure Management Portal, provision a server and a database, and connect to that through SQL Server Management Studio. So what I have here is I've got SQL Server Management Studio up and running. I haven't connected to anything yet. So what I want to do first before I connect to anything is open up the Windows Azure Management Portal. And here you see I have my management portal. What I'm going to do is go to the SQL Databases node and click on Servers. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to provision a new server for me to connect to and create databases in. And it's very simple. If you provision a server on premise, it could take a while. You have to, depending on if you have a server ready to provision or not, or you may have to order one, it could take anywhere from a day to weeks. Here I'm going to show you how easy it is to provision a new server. So what I'm going to do is create a new server and add some databases to that server as well. So let's go and click Add. I'm going to give it a login name and password. These are the server credentials. You can think of this much like the SA account. So I'm going to give it a username. Here we go. And then it's asking me what subscription do we want to put this in. I'm going to put this in my SQL Scott Azure subscription and put this in the West US data center. Now this checkbox, allow Windows Azure servers to access the server, we'll point that out in a minute. So I'm going to click OK, and you notice up here it's creating my new server, and this should only take about 5 to 10 seconds really. There it is. There it's created. So now I have this new server in SQL Scott Azure in West US. So what I'm going to do now, so notice that my server name is not things that I did not name my server. It generated a randomly set of 10 randomly generated characters, and that's my server name. Now to connect to a Windows Azure SQL database, this server through SQL Server Management Studio, what I need is to go back, is to click on the name here and select this name, because when I'm connecting, I really want to select this name right here. It is this name. This is the point that what I want to grab. So I'm going to grab that, and I'm going to go back to my SQL Server Management Studio, and I'm going to say new database. Now, what we didn't point out in the presentation is that from a authentication standpoint, Windows Azure SQL Database supports SQL authentication and not Windows authentication. So I'm going to log in with my credentials that I defined when I provisioned my server. I'm going to log in here, and this should error because it says, hey, we don't have a firewall rule with that IP address. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go back into the portal and select my configure tab. And what it does, this is great because you can tell Microsoft put some thought into this. It tells you what your IP address is. So I'm going to give it I just need to name my firewall rule, and it can be anything. So I'm going to call it my rule. And I'm going to copy and paste this IP address. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to make a range. So I'm going to say from 1 to 255. And I'm going to just click save. Right, and there's my firewall rule. Right there. Right, so I should be able to go back now and click connect. And there we go. So I was able to connect to my Windows Azure SQL Database server through SQL Server Management Studio. Let's jump back to the portal really fast and talk about this. Remember when we provisioned our server, there was this checkbox at the bottom, and this says allow Windows Azure services, yes or no. By default, it's yes. That means if we were to provision a Windows Azure website or a cloud service, that our cloud services or that website would have access to this our Windows Azure SQL Database server and database. If we say no, that means any services we have up in Windows Azure does not have access to this. Now, what happens in this scenario, what we did is we provisioned a Windows Azure Database server, and what we allowed access through a Windows Azure through a firewall rule. What I'm going to do now is go back here and I'm going to create a new database through SQL Server Management Studio. I could do this through the portal as well. I can go back to databases and say, hey, there's no databases, create a new database. I can give it a name, we'll call this Scooter. And I have several editions. I have a web edition and a business edition. If I select web, I get 1 gigabyte and 5 gigabyte database sizes. If I do business, I get 10 gigabyte to 150 gigabyte. So I'm just going to select a simple web 5 gigabyte database. And we'll keep it the same on the same server because we're provisioning this database in the server we just created. I'm going to click OK. So now it's creating our database. Should only take a couple seconds, but while it's doing that, there we go, it's already done. But we could also do the same thing through SQL Server Management Studio. So I'm going to say new database, and what it does is it asks us to write code. So I'm going to say create database. I'm going to call this, we've already created one called Scooter, so I'm going to call this Scott, and we're going to create, we're going to execute that, and notice that that's our syntax for creating a database. Now, because we didn't specify the edition and the size, what this did is it created a 1 gigabyte web edition. Now, if we want anything different from that, we simply specify the edition equals business max size equals 150 gigabyte, like that. Right, and there's our database. So that should create we already created one called Scott. Let's call this Scott 2. There we go. We'll create that. And that should create us a 150 gigabyte business edition database. Now, lastly, when we talked about firewall rules, we specified that we could create firewall rules and specify firewall rules at the server level and the database level. In our portal, we were able to provision firewall rules at the server level. If we want to provision firewall rules at the database level, we need to do that through here. So to do that, it's really pretty easy. Let's define some on our Scooter 2 database. So it's as simple as using the set database firewall rule system store procedure. So it's exec sp set database, let's move that, firewall rule, and we simply specify the rule name and the IP address. So we're going to copy and paste this simply because, let's use this. We're going to use this IP address. We're going to call this my DB rule, and then we'll specify this specific database, and we're going to specify this on Scooter 2. And that's really is all we need. So there's our firewall rule. Now if we look at, there's a system store procedure that allows us to look at these firewall rules. We can say select star from sys.database rules. If we look at this, right, there's our firewall rule. So great. What we've done now is we specified a firewall rule on our SCOT2 database. And what I'm going to do now is I'm actually going to go to the portal, and I'm going to remove this firewall rule and save that. Okay. So now we have no firewall rules, because the way it works is when you log in to make a connection, it first checks the server level firewall rules to say if I'm coming with this IP address, is it within the range of a, do I have a firewall rule that matches this IP address? And if not, go to the database set of firewall rules and ask the same question, do I have a set? If it does match, let me into that database. So if it matches at the server level, it'll let me in at the server level. If not, it goes and checks the database. If it matches there, great. If it doesn't, it'll kick me out and not let me connect. So what I'm going to do now is I'm actually going to close this window, and I'm actually going to create a new query window to SCOT2. And it's coming in and saying, hey, we don't have a firewall rule with this IP address, so let's try to connect here to SCOT2. And we have 131.107.192. That's not the IP address that we set, right? So we need to go, at this point, we need to go and add a firewall rule for that. That's not the IP address, because we actually came in with this one, 192.161. And because we came in with a different one, it's not letting us in altogether. And that was a good test, right? So it's saying, hey, our IP address doesn't match with the one that we set. We'd have to specify that range. So notice that it first checked at the server level, and then it checked at the database level, and now we can't connect. So we'd have to go back to the management portal and specify a firewall rule there to go back and update the database level firewall rule. All right, so hopefully that makes sense. What I want to do is thank you for your time today. These videos will be anywhere between 15 and 30 minutes, kind of quick hit introduction videos. We'll get into more advanced topics in future videos. In our next video, we'll talk about some administration, how to administer using the management portal that we saw here in this video. We'll talk about some of the API, the Windows Azure Management API and PowerShell command list to help us create and provision databases and servers and things like that, how to administer using some of these things. If there are topics that you'd like to see, feel free to email me at scottkale@microsoft.com. My Twitter tag is SQLScott. Feel free to reach out to me and suggest topics. I'd love to create videos around anything you suggest. So thank you for your time, and we'll see you next time.